yes, trade school is cheaper and shorter and somewhat more accessible than a college, but they're still often $20,000, $30,000. And you need to often leave your job, leave your family, and go full-time to school, which is just really tough, right? So just a lot of folks can't afford to do that, both from a money and a time perspective, especially when they're adults or later in life. So the goal of SkillCat when we got started was, hey, is there a way to create another pipeline for people who want to get into the skilled trades?
Hi, I'm Andrew Brown, and you're listening to the Lost Star of the Skilled Trades podcast, a show that shines the spotlight on careers in the skilled trades that are high-paying, honorable, rewarding, and fulfilling. The trades are the backbone of the economy that keep us running, and without them, our world would cease to exist. Today, we have a special guest, Rashir Shah, CEO of SkillCat. Welcome, Rashir.
Hey, happy to be here. Very excited.
So picture this. You're 16 years old and you like working with your hands, but you're not sure what trade you want to go into. Your guidance counselor, you sit down with your guidance counselor, they don't have a direction for you. You have no friends or family that are actually in the trades or in a blue-collar trade of some sort. What other resources are out there to help with career exploration into the trades today?
Well, first of all, congratulations to this young man or woman who was able to discover that the trades is a great opportunity, even though they have no access to it. I think that's number one, that's already a huge accomplishment and something that the vast majority of Americans don't even realize is how incredible the jobs are in the skilled trades. So if you are interested, there's some really incredible resources online. I mean, I think the very obvious ones are, you know, resources like YouTube. Just going through searching, you can see day in the life for folks in many, many different trades. Really great videos of people actually walking through their lives. This might be an opportunity for me to introduce SkillCat, where I'm the founder and CEO. We've built out a training app for skilled trade workers, specifically focused on young people. So we have folks of every age on the platform, but we started a, how do you make learning a skilled trade as easy as learning a language, as easy as like an app like Duolingo? And so everything on our platform is mobile first, easy to use, and gets you in a fun, exciting way to learn about the trades. So yeah, I think there are a lot of great resources out there. I would say all of them. Go for a video, go for apps, see what you can find.
That's always one of the challenges, what I find with younger individuals. I'm interested in working with my hands, but I really still don't know what to do. And YouTube obviously is a great resource. There are a lot of people in the trades and different trades that do different things in the trades. And you can certainly be almost like a day in the life of a welder or a day in the life of an electrician. You can go on TikTok, you can go on Instagram. There's so much content out there, but just to really understand if I want to be an electrician, what is it all about? What kind of money can I make? How many years do I need to be invested? And then you start going down the path. Do I go a trade school route? Or do I look at, for instance, like a SkillCat and go that route, or at least start that route? There's not just one location where you can go to. I feel like we can do a better job. But I had a chance to take a look at the SkillCat app, and I went down sort of the path of being an electrician. And it started off with the history of electrical things and AC and DC and Thomas Edison. And it was pretty cool. It was just giving sort of a back history, and it was tying it into what it is today. How does it work when it comes to the app? Somebody is obviously brand new to the industry, wants to be an electrician. How long is the segments? How much time is invested in it? One of the other pieces and parts of this, for sure, is that trade school, even though that it's much cheaper than a four-year college degree, it still can cost you $11,000-$12,000. So that's an investment in. Walk me through sort of a path of, let's say, an electrician.
Yeah. So this is exactly why we got started with SkillCat. Is it's not that easy to get into a skilled trade, even if you want to. And so you see millions of Americans who've lost jobs over the past 30, 40, 50 years as industries have declined and jobs have moved overseas. Technology has just changed in a lot of industries, right? You see this in manufacturing, you see this in coal. And if someone wants to reskill to another industry, yes, trade school is cheaper and shorter and somewhat more accessible than a college, but they're still often $20,000, $30,000. And you need to often leave your job, leave your family, and go full time to school, which is just really tough, right? So just a lot of folks can't afford to do that, both from a money and a time perspective, especially when they're adults or later in life. So the goal of SkillCat when we got started was, hey, is there a way to create another pipeline for people who want to get into the skilled trades, right? Is there another way to do it? Or do you have to go through a traditional conventional trade school? Yeah, so SkillCat, pretty simple how it works. For people who want to get into the trades, $10 a month, you go in there, you can get simulation-based training that's interactive and very gamified through all the fundamentals you need in the trades. And we've worked with a bunch of companies in the skilled trades to figure out what are the core competencies, the core skills you need in your first many months as an apprentice. And we put all of that in the app. So it's a lot faster, shorter, more condensed than a traditional trade school, but you get all of the right information and employers will then hire you and bring you on to work in the trades. To get your journeyman's license in any trade, it's not enough to just go through online training, right? You need years of actual work experience, you know, 4,000, 8,000 hours of experience in the trade and a formal apprenticeship program of some kind. What we've seen a lot of people do is you can use our app, gain core certifications that show off your skills, your aptitude, your passion and interest for the field, get a job at a company that has a system for growing and improving your skills, and then go through that four-year apprenticeship, continuing to learn through the SkillCat app as a companion. So really just broadening the field. Hey, if you can afford to go to an in-person trade school, great. You're going to have an incredible experience and really, really get your foot in the door. But if you can't, if you don't have the time, you don't have the money, you don't have the resources, you have other commitments, SkillCat's there for you. And we've trained about 300,000 people. A lot of them have used us to either get straight into the trade as part of a trade school experience where they go to an in-person trade school or on the job in the field. So it's really what you make of it, but it's a really great resource that's out there for you.
The information that's on your phone is just unbelievable. Whether you just want to do courses online for even school or college, or you're doing something in the trades, everything's at your disposal. My only challenge is the accountability standpoint, right? So if I'm invested in a trade school and I'm spending $12,000, $13,000, I need to show up because, wow, if I don't show up, that's a lot of money versus your app where it's only $10, which extreme value, right? Are you more likely to stay within trade school versus to keep the accountability in SkillCat? Is there accountability partners? Is there a community of some sort to keep people to keep going with learning the segments?
No, it's a great question. So we've actually struggled with this for a while because initially we were free for individuals who wanted to get trained. And so it's a great resource, right? For those people who are committed and engaged and know exactly what they want. So one is we built a lot of gamification in the app, right? So it's very motivating. You get badges, you get certificates, you make progress, you grow. There's a lot of ways that the app keeps you motivated and excited to continue learning and growing. Number two, we've also incorporated live events and live instruction as a part of the app. So we have a woman, Jennifer, one of our early students, who's now a big influencer in HVAC, and she moderates regular sessions where she'll do live instruction and kind of guide and coach people through different aspects of the training. We've also established leaderboards for a lot of the companies we work with, and we're bringing it into the worker work version of our app as well, where you can actually compete and see how you're doing across many, many other people all over the country. That's kind of one realm that we've played around with. To your point, nothing really beats, you know, having made a financial commitment. Something else we've tried in the past is, hey, this is our trade school. We're going to charge you $100 or $1,000 to get started. If you finish, we'll refund you that money back. So a way for folks to get that financial pressure that keeps you motivated and engaged to go through the entire training process without actually having a financial burden as a result.
You know, I've heard feedback from some people, this is not norm, but where I went to trade school, even the instructors weren't that good, didn't really get a great experience. And that just could have been just a finite amount of people or just maybe one or two schools out there. But you hear that as well. People that you bring in to stay up to date, trending wise, on the newest, latest, the upkeep on that is probably a lot because things change and technology change. How do you keep up to date? Is this like a yearly thing or is it quarterly?
No, constantly. So it's a great question. I think this is where one of the areas where I feel like even though traditional trade schools, unions are very well-meaning and they provided a tremendous amount of value, often just the larger and more bureaucratic you get, it's hard to stay up to speed and up to date as things change. So for us, what that's meant is we have a constantly focused content team, right? So we're always churning out new courses, always improving our existing courses. And because we have so many students on the platform and so many companies that we work with that use us to train their workers, we get feedback all the time, right? We get feedback when we don't want feedback, right? Everyone's always like, oh, this has changed, this has changed, this has changed, that's changed, right? And so because of our user body, you know, no trade school trains 300,000 people just because they're much more in person and focused. Because we have so many people, we get a tremendous amount of feedback and we're constantly iterating and improving our courses to address that. We also have really strong relationships with a lot of the accreditation bodies, like the EPA, like NEAT, and a lot of the different manufacturers in the space. And so we work with them constantly to figure out what's changing, what's new, and bringing that information in. So I think you bring up a great point, especially in today's day and age, nothing is staying the same. Things are changing. Everything's being electrified. There's, you know, heat pumps everywhere. There's a lot changing and you have to be on the cutting edge. And that's one of the benefits of an agile online platform.
I was at the Skills USA show in Atlanta. For people who are not familiar with, they bring in about 6,000 students. These are the best of the best in different trades, whether it's welding, electrical, plumbing, and all other skilled trades, and they compete against each other. And I had a chance to check out VR, which is accompanied by Transfer. I had the VR glasses on, and I remember putting it on. It took a second to get it simulated to. I was in a virtual world, and they put me in a factory. One of the belts broke off, and I had to weld something. So I literally had to grab the welder, and I had to put the helmet on. I sat there, and I welded, and then they put me in an environment where the power went out in town. And I was in front of a tower and I sat there for like, it must have been user error. I sat there for like 5 minutes trying to get up and I didn't. Maybe that's an age thing. I'm just aged out from some of the games, but finally I made it to the top and I'm looking around and I felt like, whoa, I feel like I'm 50 feet, 60 feet up. I put the power back to the transformer and I got back down and it felt good. It's a different experience. Will you go that direction from a VR experience? Are you going to just stay sort of like just an app?
Personally, I don't think VR is there yet. So I think there's definitely benefits to VR where it's more immersive. You know, you feel like you're there to some extent. For something like welding or brazing or soldering, you just have to kind of be hands-on, right? So I think it's really difficult for very, very tactile things to do that with VR yet. And so from our perspective, you know, that's issue number one. And issue number two is no one has a VR headset, right? So the vast majority of people, especially in the skilled trades, not only do not own a VR headset, they don't have much access to a computer even during the day. Even folks in blue collar jobs like retail and restaurant work that might want to get into the skilled trades, they're not at a computer either. And so if you really want to meet folks getting into the trades where they are, you have to make it very easy and accessible for them. So we started off computer-based, where we had an online version. We still have an online version on a computer. What we realized is almost every single person was accessing it on a mobile phone. Everything has shifted towards cell phone, cell phone, cell phone. How do you make this easy, accessible, anywhere you are, micro chunks of learning when you're in and out of the field? So many people take our courses from their car, when they're like in and out of different locations, walking around, going through and knocking out a module. So for us, accessibility is the number one thing to bring more people into the skill trades. VR is cool, but it's not accessible where it is today.
VR is cool, but it is not accessible across the board. It's expensive. Those goggles are expensive. The investment is expensive. So I agree with you. I look at the case from a VR perspective, from gamification, bringing that into a school, a middle school, even down to an elementary school, and kids put it on and they get excited about working with their hands. I can see that as a use case where they bring in, and there are a few organizations that will bring in a plumber, a welder, they'll talk to the kids, also bring in VR as well. So they can start to put on the goggles and they can start to look around and they can see things and they can get just a sense of working with their hands. I can see that working hand in hand. But I do think that one of the pushbacks would be price, because like you said, people in the trades, they're working all day. Unless their company has invested in this technology, they won't have access to it, versus an app where it's on your phone and you can do it obviously 24/7.
I think cost is one piece, but the other is just like, even if you have a bunch of VR headsets, folks are just out in the field all the time, right? So you want to meet people where they are.
I want to go back to the app for a second and go back to the, whether it's an HVAC route or electrical route. How far can you get before you need true hands-on experience? So let's say, again, I'm just going to utilize, just talk about the electrical trade just for a second. If I finish all the segments, am I comfortable enough to actually start working on wires, or do I wait until I actually get an apprenticeship or work for a company to get hands-on experience?
I mean, usually you would have to, right, work under a journeyman at a company for something like, especially something like electrical. If you're completely new, right, you have had no previous hands-on of any kind, this is a foot in the door, right? This is a way to get that first job at a company. But what we actually see is the majority of people coming on the platform have a good amount of mechanical aptitude and mechanical experience. So they've spent time working under their fathers or mothers on work, you know, in the field. They've done other jobs that require some level of mechanical and electrical skills. Maybe they're a maintenance tech that wants to upgrade themselves, or they're a handyman. Of course, yes, if you've never done anything with your hands before, this is not a replacement for that. You have to actually get some hands-on experience, and you're going to anyways. I mean, your first 6 months to a year as an HVAC tech at a lot of companies, you'll just be sort of a tool monkey going around and getting tools and identifying the right tools, bringing those around, doing very, very basic tasks, moving up to then changing out filters and like a basic set of responsibilities before you're actually, you know, doing things that are super complex. You're going to have that experience anyways when you start working. The majority of our users have done some form of, you know, mechanical work, even personally in their personal lives. And so that's really useful.
It's going to set you up. So if you do want that job, like you said, that first job, you could say that I completed this course, I have this certificate. So at least they know that you've had some type of education, might not have the full hands-on experience. That's why I was curious. If I just decided to go through the entire electrical piece and it was like, okay, now I'm ready to actually get in there and start working, I might be a little hesitant before that I can actually work with somebody directly. But it would be nice if I was to do the HVAC side and get a better understanding about how my system works at home. And I could see that 100%.
It's a cool idea. So we spend a lot of our time placing people into jobs as well. And like, we still help our students with that to some extent. We played with this quite a bit where, hey, if someone has zero previous experience in any trade of any kind, it's hard for them to get a job even coming out of a trade school, because folks want to see some evidence that you can do something. And so how can we help, you know, in our app, let you take pictures and videos of tasks you can do at home? Maybe take apart your AC, maybe take some pictures of you changing a filter and like doing basic mechanical tasks around your home and using that to build that portfolio for you. Nothing beats, you know, super, super hands-on experience. A lot of people can't afford to do that, right? Both from a time and money perspective. What can we do as an organization to enable those people to also be set up for success?
It's never too late to start in the trades. An example would be, I've used this example before on other podcasts, but I have a extended family member who wants to be an electrician. He is 37 and he was in the corporate world for a very long time, decided, I don't want to do this. I want to be an electrician. And he's going down and he wants to join the union and has a family. And when you start in the trades, a lot of times you're not making that much money. Obviously, it takes some time to level up, to be a journeyman, to be a master in your trade. What are you seeing in the app? Is it age-wise? Is there a median age? Are you seeing an older generation getting in there? Because I see it just across the board, but what do you see from the software and the app side?
So a couple of things on this. We actually got started. So the kind of the founding story of Skillcat is I had started a previous company in oil and gas. So building out training for oil and gas workers, safety training to help prevent oil spills. During COVID, everyone from that, you know, all of our users, they started getting laid off, right? Oil and gas prices were at a, you know, really, really low level. Everyone was getting laid off. And these were folks, 40s, 50s, 60s, with years of mechanical and electrical experience, but they just working at grocery stores. They moved from these high paying jobs to really low skill jobs because they just didn't have a path to other industries that had worker shortages. And when we got started, our vision was, hey, how do we help reskill and place those people into these other jobs? And we have successfully done that quite a bit. Where SkillCat has shined, you know, yeah, I agree with you. We have people at all ages and all types of people. Where we've shined, I think, is bringing in people who are not traditionally represented in the trades, right? So 20 to 30% of our users are women. We have a huge number of minorities, a lot of Spanish speakers, a lot of people from other trades who are actually older, and then a lot of young people, the so-called young people who don't like the trades, who actually have heard about the trades and want to break in. And so I think that's one of the benefits of providing this alternate mechanism. You get access for all of these people who otherwise would never even thought about the trades. But because they have this easy, low energy, high tech way of exploring the industry, you get a lot more people in. But to answer your question, if there's a specific age that's been prevalent, not really. So we'll get people who are like 70s, sometimes even late 70s. They'll reach out and they're trying to use their phone. And we've tried to make the app really easy for folks like that. And then you'll get people who are like, hey, my son or daughter is 12 or 11. Are they too young? They don't have an ID. Can they still get their EPA certified? And we get those questions. And so it's really the full spectrum. Just increasing access is our overall focus.
You had said 20 to 30% are women, which is quite amazing because there's only about 4% really in the trades per se. So 30% is pretty large. And that's great that you have that many women on the platform utilizing it. And we need more women in the trades. I mean, it's just, I talk about that all the time, that we need to support women. Just to see that you have that percentage wise, that's really great to see.
It makes it easier for all of these groups who might not otherwise feel represented, right? If you're a woman going into a classroom and it's all men, right? It's a bit intimidating and it's a bit difficult, right? I mean, the trades are actually traditionally pretty white, right? So if you go to look at lower level construction, like more laborers, there's like a huge Hispanic population and there's a huge African American population. But the moment you get into the skill trades, it's predominantly white. And so I think by giving people access to go through on their own pace without fear of judgment, you were able to bring in a lot of groups who otherwise might feel underrepresented.
Yeah, it's a good way to explore. It's a good way to at least get your hands wet and see the different trades. You might find out you want to go the plumbing route instead of kind of going to be an electrician or vice versa. What's the most popular trade that you've seen?
The HVAC. So the reason we started with HVAC is it's some of the highest salaries. It's the biggest shortage. People search for it. So like if you look for on Google, HVAC training gets something like 10 times as much searches as like electrician training, plumbing training. It's hard. HVAC's hard. Every trade is quite challenging, but HVAC, you need electrical, you need mechanical, you need a lot of different components. And so, yeah, that's where we really focused to get started.
You know, it's interesting, a story about HVAC. I had an HVAC problem recently. Of course, it's 90 plus degrees here in New York and my AC cut off. And, you know, I'm somewhat technical and I did my checks and I just couldn't figure it out. So I had to call somebody and he goes up into the attic. It turns out one of the pipes burst on the air handler and then water got into the tray and then the kill switch cut it off. I don't know why I didn't check that, but I didn't check that. And he literally had to come down the stairs, up the stairs, down, like spill all the water. I'm like, can I help? He's like, no, this is my job. And I felt obviously amazing that he got the AC back on, but I felt kind of defeated just from a fulfilling standpoint that I didn't get it done. But if I had the knowledge base, right? So if I took part of the HVAC course from a homeowner's standpoint, learning about the systems that are in your house, because a lot of my friends, I feel like are helpless. They won't touch anything. With the technology today, it's just you're relying on technology. We don't learn those basic skills that we used to learn in school. And we're coming out, we're just curious to work with our hands.
Especially the younger generations, you don't learn how to work with your hands. Like so many hiring managers we've talked to, people don't know like righty tighty, lefty loosey. They don't know that. And then you talk to people who've actually employed maintenance technicians. And a lot of those folks like starting out have never worked with tools before. And so often the level, it's hard, we're facing a massive shortage. And on the other end, most people are actually even worse than they've ever been at figuring out issues on their own. And so the problem is massive. We're here to help solve it. So I think at the very least, you can make these solutions and the training very accessible to everyone. Everyone won't go through it, won't do it. In our app, we also have a whole section on step-by-step walkthroughs for troubleshooting that you can use in the field. So if you don't want to go through training, you don't have time, we'll actually step you through how to solve something. So there's one on there on a toilet. If your toilet ever stops working, check it out. The number of sales calls we've gotten on where it's like a property manager, you know, someone completely non-technical is like, I looked at the app, I actually had a toilet issue and I solved it. It's a resource for everyone.
And that's fulfilling too, to fix something. And look, the skilled trades are there to help you out when you don't know how to do things. But there's one thing to do it yourself and save a little bit of money. And, you know, apps like a SkillCat can help you there for obviously, you know, not much investment.
It's only going to get worse because of the skilled trade shortage. Jobs will become even more lucrative for folks who want to get into the skilled trades. But for homeowners, it's only going to get worse. Like the shortage is growing and, you know, there's more and more challenges all across the country because of, you know, different infrastructure issues and weather patterns.
This is why I bang the drum every day. I show up every single day. If I feel like I don't show up, then I'm doing an injustice. And it takes about sometimes 8 to 10 tries before someone actually listens. So that's why I stay consistent with my message in the PR when it comes to the skilled trades. Rashid, this has been an amazing conversation. Before you leave today, what is one of your special tools of the trade tip that you can provide the audience about leadership and mentorship in a new business?
In any new business, and especially, you know, in an industry like the skilled trades or, you know, even a software company, you're going to hire a lot of people with no previous experience and folks who might be new to what you're doing and what you're building. So nothing beats one-on-one mentorship and support. When I first started SkillCat, we had a pretty big team we had built together, and then one person quit and then five other people quit. And for me, that was a really foundational experience at thinking, hey, how do we build a better management culture? And this is exactly the same problem people face in the trades. How do we build them a better management culture? The number one thing, you know, tried and true throughout is support and mentor your people. Meet with them, give them a path to growth of what they need step by step to get to where they need to be. So really providing mentorship, coaching, and growth to your people.
That is a good way of putting it. Support and mentorship is extremely important, especially in the trades when somebody new comes in that you were new once too, and you're 25 years into being an electrician, that you should be supporting and mentoring and giving all the knowledge to the newbies out there, because that's sort of the next generation out there. So that is great advice to the people out there about really support, mentor, give back, and pay it forward. You probably were helped along the way, just as I was helped along the way. So that is great advice to people in the trades and just running a company in general. It's been great to have you here, Rashid. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Andrew.
And thank you to our listeners. If you want more valuable insights and trades-related information, head over to andrewbrown.net and join our Trades Movement newsletter, where we advocate for the trades. We share inspirational stories. We talk about cool apps like SkillCat, and we provide resources, and you join a passionate trades community. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss another episode. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to The Lost Art of the Skilled Trades. Visit us at andrewbrown.net for more resources and tips. Join us next time for real stories and meaningful initiatives as we celebrate our men and women in the skilled trades and shape the future together.